Well, well, amen and amen. Some of you need to get those shackles off, all right? So you can grow, so you can sing and worship and praise the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about today. Thank you again for being here, for praying for these services. I would trust today that every one of you have been to 845 Connect Group. Now, we changed the name a little bit. While we're changing everything, we just changed the name of Sunday School. We're calling it Connect Group because that's what it is. It's a Connect Group. You need to be involved in a Sunday School, Bible study, Connect Group class at 845, and then you come in here and worship at 1030, all right? So the reason for that is you need to get connected to people. You know, in the Connect Groups, that's why we're calling it Connect Groups, because you can connect to other people. You can't really connect in here in the auditorium, even though we have a good time, and you can meet some folks. You just won't really get to know people unless you get involved in a Connect Group or a Bible study or even a Sunday School class. We got teachers available, and I want to thank God for all of you who've been praying for these two services and for all the hard work that's gone in setting this up. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that probably never get mentioned. I thank God for Daniel and Shane and all the booths back there. They've worked really hard to get the stage ready. I thank God for them, for George and Greg Bowie and Richard and all of them, Brother Randy, all that team, our welcome ministry, our ushers. They've been working with the young people. It was exciting this morning at 8:45. We had young people all around the building serving, welcoming people. We had them ushering this morning, getting them plugged in. That was the reason for 8:45 service, not just to have a band-led service, even though that's part of it, but the main reason was to get them and impact them, and so they can get involved in the worship services, not just sit there and say, this is somebody else's service. It's our service, and they were involved. We got leaders there. It's continuing to grow. It will grow. We will reach a lot of young people as well as others in this service as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you. Brother Sonny and Miss Beverly as well. They set up Sunday School classes. They had to just about reorganize a lot of that. They worked real hard at getting our Connect Group set up. So it'd be a shame. They worked all that hard, got the classes and teachers prepared, and you not be there. You need to be in Connect Group, all right? So get connected here at Lindsay Lane and get your shackles off, and let's have a good time, all right? All right. I said, all right? All right. All right. Now you're there. Now you're there. Well, I talked to our young people this morning. School's starting back. A lot of them's already in school, and some of the city schools are starting back this coming Wednesday, and I asked this question: how many of you are ready to go back to school? I promise you, I only saw two hands, and they were two teachers. They were ready. But I asked that in here. A lot of parents go like this: we're ready for school to start back. But anyway, it's starting back, and I thought about little Johnny. You know, I had to start off with a little Johnny joke, and so little Johnny went back to school, and you know, it's kind of new to him. And teacher started talking a little bit about evolution, and you know, the Earth and long Earth and all of that. So he came home. He asked his mother. He said, "Mother, did I come from a monkey?" And his mother said, "Well, no, little Johnny, you did not. You were created by God. You know that, don't you?" "Yeah." But the teacher got me kind of confused. And so he's outside. He ran into his dad and said, "Dad, the teacher said today I came from a monkey. Is that true?" He said, "It sure is." He said, "You did come from a monkey." He said, "You sure did." So he got confused. He was perplexed. He went in and said, "Mom," said, "I don't understand. You said I didn't come from a monkey." And then I asked Daddy, and Daddy said, "I did come from a monkey." She said, "Oh, he was just talking about his side of the family." Amen. And so sometimes our kids are going to get confused, and they're going to hear things that's contrary to what the Bible says, even in college and so place. So I just encourage you as parents, as school starts back, to come alongside of them and really, really get in there with them and train them up in the way of the Lord. And I know they'll appreciate that very, very much. All right? Next week, I'm so excited next week to start the Gospel of John. I'm going to be in a brand new series next week entitled The Life and Times of Jesus. And what I'm going to try to do, here's what I try to do when I read the Bible. I try to think about what was happening when Jesus was in the temple and Jesus was running out the money changers and Peter and John went to the temple and healed a lame. I try to see all of that. And for me, it just comes alive. And so what I want to do is really try to make the Bible come alive as I teach and preach on the life and times of Jesus Christ. I really want you to know him. I really do. And so I'm really excited about the opportunity I have. But today, before we do that, I want to just echo what I said last week and talk a little bit about growing to be spiritually healthy. Before we dive into the series of John, I really want us to revisit just for a moment today as I challenge the young people this morning and all of us to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I find that I need on a daily basis, is I need to get in the Word of God and I need to be reminded who I am in Christ. Every day I'm challenged. I'm challenged by getting distracted, by getting pulled away and getting involved in what I do and in the flesh, sticks its ugly head in and all of that. And so we're pulled. And so you've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to grow spiritually healthy to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our goal here at Lindsay Lane Baptist Church is to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, sing the Word of God. Everything we do is to teach you and I how to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question would be, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus? I didn't ask you, did you get saved? Did you be baptized? Those things, you may be a Christian, but are you a disciple? Are you following Jesus? Are you doing what He teaches in His Word? Are you growing in your faith? Are you growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? These are things you must know, you must be about, you must really discipline and prioritize your life in order to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very, very important. It's kind of like training a dog. You know, I shared this morning in the first service. My son-in-law, Chuck, he has a dog named Wynn. And that dog is a Labrador he retrieves ducks. It's amazing. But they were training that dog, and he had to go to a training school, obedience school, and Chuck can put a blindfold on that dog, and the dog will be over there in the pen, and he'll take this rubber duck, and he'll throw it way out in the yard. And then the dog has no clue where that duck is, and Chuck will let him out and said, heel. That dog will sit right beside him. And he'll say, okay, Wynn, go. And he'll run out about 50 yards and sit down and turn around. Chuck will go, over here. He'll run over there and look back at Chuck. Chuck will go, over there. He'll run over there. And he says, go back. He'll run back. And then when Chuck wants him to get the duck, he'll say, fetch and get it. And he'll point right over there, and that dog will go get that duck. It's amazing. Now, listen, here's my point. If you can train a dog to do that, why can't we train a Christian to be a disciple? Amen? If you can train a dog or a cat, I don't talk much about cats, all right? But if you can train a dog or a cat to use the bathroom here and not over here, don't you think you can be trained and I can be trained how to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, it does take obedience, doesn't it? It takes obedience. It takes desire. It takes dedication, devotion. You got to want to grow as a Christian. And I promise you this, God's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you got a PhD or you never finished the seventh grade. That doesn't matter with God. You can have as much as God as you want. You really can. And you can read the Word of God, go to class and be taught, and you can grow as a Christian. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, the common people loved Him. The common folk, they rallied to Him, they thronged to Him. And so He related to them. And so He's not a respecter of persons, He loves us all. But we got to grow in our relationship with Him. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, turn there with me in your Bibles. Hope you brought your Bibles today, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever it is you look at with the Word of God. I've grown to say this, it doesn't matter. All right, I prefer the Word of God. I like to hold it like this. I do. I like to mark in it and read it and all of that. But whatever way you prefer, I'm growing, all right? I'm growing in the Lord. Now, 1 Timothy 4, 6, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine, teachings, which you have certainly followed. Paul's writing to Timothy. By the way, I'm preaching in Timothy on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Help you grow if you come. But reject, verse 7, profound and old fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. Underline that. But godliness in that exercise is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is. The life that now is, your present life, but also of the life that is to come. Have you figured this out yet, that life is a marathon, it's not a 100-yard sprint. We're in this for the long haul, right? And so if life is a marathon, you got to grow. You know, we'd take a 100-yard sprint, we'd do this, we'd say, I'm going to try that, and we'll do it, and we run a little bit, and we get tired, and we quit. But life is a marathon. So is your spiritual life. It's a marathon. We're in this for a long time. And so Paul is illustrating here and contrasting bodily exercise against, if you will, or over against, the need for spiritual exercise. He's also contrasting the present to eternity. So here's a great truth I want you to learn in your outline. Listen to this. We must learn to prioritize our lives in order to grow spiritually. That's a good word. It's a good statement. It's a good principle. You must learn to prioritize your life in order to grow spiritually. I shared with our young people this morning, it's kind of like doing homework. Now, they didn't like homework. Nobody raised their hand. They liked homework either. And you don't like homework either. I didn't like it when I was in school. But let me ask you a question. How am I going to graduate high school or go to college, graduate college? How am I going to graduate and progress if I don't do my homework? You see, homework is erected, if you will, to help you and I grow in our teachings. That's why we have connect groups. Connect groups are designed to help you grow in the Word of God. And so homework is in schools to help them to learn the subject they're teaching and help them to take it home and work in it so they'll learn 2 + 2 = 4. All right? And then so they're learning and homework and we prioritize things. We have to have new habits. And see, we all got these old habits that we've gotten used to. Lord, I know I have mine, but I've got a lot of good habits, too, that I've learned. I've disciplined myself and dedicated to learn some new habits. By the way, do you know it takes 21 days to develop a habit, either good or bad? It takes 21 days, usually. Now, some of my bad habits, I believe I got less than that. But somebody said it takes 21 days to have a good habit. So you need to develop new habits. And so maybe you're not in Sunday school or you're not in Connect Group. So get in the habit of going. Get in the habit of coming on Wednesday night or Sunday night. Start developing that habit and you'll begin to grow. And I'll share more about that. It's just not that, just not coming to church, but that helps you to grow. So prioritize. Scott Kahn said, good things happen when you get your priorities straight. And they really do. So why do we prioritize our lives? Let me talk to you a minute about this. This is very important. Why do we prioritize our lives? Why do you need to prioritize your life? Because if you don't, somebody else will. If you don't prioritize your schedule, somebody else will schedule it for you. Amen? They really will. And by the way, if you don't prioritize your life, what is your priority? What is your standard in life? What are the values that mean a lot to you and you want to shape and mold your life around? What are those? So how do you prioritize to do that? You say, well, I love coming to church. I love Bible study. I love this or that. I just don't have time for it. You know why? You don't have your priorities right. That's right. You got to change your priority because that should be the number one thing. Amen? All right. Now, let me help you with this. Turn to James chapter 4. Go by Hebrews, and you'll come to James. Okay? James chapter 4. Now look in verse, if you will, I'm in Hebrews, James chapter 4, look in verse 14. Now here's why you prioritize your spiritual life. To grow spiritual healthy, you got to prioritize your life. Now look what he says. Whereas you do not know what tomorrow brings. Amen? How many times have you heard your pastor say that? You don't know what tomorrow brings. You never know when the phone's going to ring. You never know when you're going to get that report. You never know what a day is going to bring. So, look what he says. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it's gone. I woke up early this morning, and when it got daylight, I looked outside and noticed it was foggy. Did y'all notice that? It was foggy this morning early. And so I kind of thought about that. You know, it's kind of like that vapor he's talking about. See, that fog is there only for a little while. And usually when the sun comes up, the fog just dissipates and goes away. That's kind of the way your life is. in my life is. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Another thing I noticed, I looked in the mirror. Oh, my word. It was early, all right? My eyes wasn't focused good, so I had to look again. I said, wow, man, you got a new wrinkle. You're getting older. And the reason is, I am. I'm getting older every day. Because my life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And so you are too. That black hair you got right now, that hair you got right now. All those things just kind of drop, all right? And kind of get older and all of that. I mean, that's bad news. I'm going to try to encourage you here in a minute. But it's the process. It's fact. It's reality. I'm telling you. This life is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Age is like that. It's here, it's gone. And so you got to learn to prioritize. You really do. And so it's like vapor. Now, the second reason you need to prioritize your life is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So turn there with me. Very important scripture. Notice what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Don't you look at this passage. This will help you. I love this passage of scripture. I really do. Now, look what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. In verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what he says. Therefore, don't lose heart. See, I just kind of discouraged some of you. Oh, my word. I looked in the mirror, too. But don't lose heart. Don't worry about it. It's a process you're in. It happens. You get older. Your life comes, and then it goes. Look what he says. Do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. That's what I found out. I'm perishing. I'm getting older. I'm wearing out. Yet, here's the good news. Yet, the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know what I thought about that? It's all right, devil. You can have his hair. You can have his face. You can have my body and put it in the ground. But you can't get what's in here. You know why? I've been working out. I've been working out spiritually. And I'm being renewed day after day. I was in my devotions this morning, yesterday, the day before, reading the Bible, praying, just cultivating my relationship with the Lord. Why? Because I know I got to prioritize. Because I like to go to the gym and work out, and if I don't do that, if I don't equal that out, I'll find myself doing more with my body exercise than I do my spirit. And see, we'll put a lot of emphasis on our body without cultivating and working on and prioritizing exercising our spirit. Amen? We really do. Because this is what people see. But God looks in here. It's a great principle from God's Word. You know why? I'll read on. For our light affliction, which is for a moment. Whatever you're going through, whatever circumstance you're dreading, whatever discouragement you're in right now, it'll pass. It's only for a moment. It really is. Look what he says. Our light affliction is for a moment, but it is working for us for a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look always in the mirror at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen, they're what, class? Eternal. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you want to live eternally? Yes. And by the way, you are. Nobody dies. Are y'all listening? Nobody dies eternally. Everybody lives forever. But you either live in a place separated from God forever, or you live in a place with God forever and ever. We die to this body. Yes, they'll put my body in the dirt. They'll cover it up. Y'all sing a song and hope you shed a tear. Y'all better cry. Amen. Patrick's going, I'm going to try to get it in. But anyway, and so my body will go back to the dust from which it came. That's that process. But the Bible says to be absent from God is to absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So my spirit goes to be with the Lord, and I'm going to get a brand new body, and I'm going to live forever with Jesus in heaven. That's why I'm prioritizing my life today, so I can kind of get a head start, amen, and enjoy my salvation. And so you need to do the same thing. You got to learn to prioritize your life. You really do. Because if you don't, somebody's prioritizing it for you, and you're letting them. And so you got to learn to prioritize. It's very, very important. William James said this: the best use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Spend your life for something that will outlast it. You don't want to die and that's it. Nobody remembers you. There's no legacy. You haven't left anything. But if you're investing in others, you're investing in kingdom work, it'll outlast you. It really will. All right? Now, y'all do know our mission statement, our purpose statement, right? What is our purpose statement? Let's say it together. Making disciples who worship, grow, and serve, right? So that's what we're about here at Lindsay Lane. That's my priority, our staff's priority, is to have things for this church, have connect groups, have Awana and all these other things we can get involved in. We got so many missions and ministries to help us worship, grow, and serve. We did a great job of worshiping, and we're going to connect groups, going to Life University tonight at 6 o'clock, and things like that, to connect groups to help us to grow, and then we're going to serve the Lord. And so that's what we're about here at Lindsay Lane, worship, grow, and serve. And see, David loved to serve the Lord. David loved to worship. In Psalms, if you'll read the Psalms, David loved going to church. He loved worshiping God. He loved serving God. Jesus loved to go to church. He loved to serve others in the temple. Anytime he went to Jerusalem, wherever, he was found in the temple, Apostle Paul. Every town he went in, he looked for the synagogue to go in to teach others. So what's my point? They loved going to church. They loved getting involved in the church and serving the church. It was their priority. And see, once you understand that church is more than just doing something on Sunday morning, it's more than that. Yes, it's singing these great songs and praising the Lord. Yes, it's just going to a great connect group, Sunday school, and getting with your friends and learning the Bible. It's great to just praise the Lord in here and all that. All of that's part of it, but it's not all of it. The main reason you do that is so you can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in here, but out there. You can have devotions out there. You have connect groups out there, Bible study groups. You go to conferences. You go to seminars. You go to a lot of things to help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you begin to grow and you're developing a new habit, you're getting some things going on in your life, you're dying to some old habits, and now your life's beginning to take on meaning and shape. And you're feeling very, very good about your life now. You see, when I got saved at 27 years old, I hated myself. I hated what I'd become. I hated all those habits I developed. I was so ashamed. And then I met Jesus, and he changed my life. And he said, I still love you, but I love you enough to not to leave you that way. I'm going to change your life. And he began to change me. And I began to allowing him to change me. Priority started taking place. I stopped doing some things I was doing, started doing some things I wasn't doing. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's not about a legalistic relationship. It's about a loving relationship. And you allow him to change you because you flat out love him. Because he died for you. He paid for your sin that you deserve. The death that we deserve, he took it for us, and therefore we love him for it. Amen? And so I pray we understand that today. That's why we go to church. We go to church to worship him, to give him praise. I pray this fall you won't let Alabama and Auburn, Tennessee steal your praise. I pray we won't leave it all at Jordan Hare, Bryant Denny. Pray we'll bring it in here. Amen. I pray we'll bring it in here. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms, shout to the Lord. I know that scares Baptists. Shout to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't leave it all down there. Don't leave it all at Bryant Denny and Jordan Hare. Don't leave it down there. Bring it with you. It's part of you. It's who we are. Amen? All right. All right. Now, so we serve him. And you can't serve him. By the way, spiritual growth is not automatic. It's not just going to happen. You got to position yourself to be blessed. You can't grow by proximity. It's like going by the school and say, oh, now I understand geometry. I drove by the school. I went by the gym. Now I'm losing 5 pounds. You don't do it that way. And sometimes we got the mentality, if I just go to church and sit on a pew, I'm going to grow. And first thing, I'm going to please my wife. I'm going to please my spouse, you know, and please Pastor Dusty, hopefully. Where do we get to think church is like that? Church is not about that. You just shouldn't come if that's the reason, really. Probably, I don't know. No, come anyway. Strike that off the tape. Come anyway. Because you may hear something. But the reason you ought to come is to cultivate your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church has come alongside of you to help you to grow. Jesus said, I'll establish my church, his church. That's why you go to church, because he did. He established it. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And so we come to Lindsay Lane, we worship, we grow, and we serve. And before long, before you know it, you'll be a disciple. Because you're growing. You got new habits. You're prioritizing your life. You're not letting others steal it away. The old flesh. All of those things. All right? Now, in my remainder time, I'm going to give you these fourfold priorities, if you will, of growing. So, Pastor, that sounds good, but how do I put it into application? One thing I found out, a lot of preachers talk about stuff, but they never tell you how you can do it. And so I want to give you four things, there's many more, but four ways you can grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And these are essential, by the way, to your spiritual growth. These are essential. All right, number one. Let's look at these. Number one, in your outline, a clear understanding of who God and Jesus are. Do you really know who God is? Well, I heard about him. You know, I know he's a God. He parted the Red Sea, blah, blah, blah. Well, who is God really to you? Well, he's Jesus, yes? Is Jesus and God the same? Yes. I told the young people this morning that Jesus is God with skin on. That's who Jesus is. He's God with skin on. Because Jesus came to this earth to walk among us, to live with us, so we could relate to Jesus, and then we could relate to the Father who we've never seen. But Jesus said this, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Because I and the Father are one. We're the same person. And so you need to understand the incarnation, if you will, of Jesus Christ and who he is and who God is. He's our creator. He died for you. Jesus died for you on the cross. And so when you really understand and grasp who he is, I'm telling you, it'll help you sing him. When you really understand what he did for you and who he is, it'll help you in your attendance, in your attitude. When you really grasp who Jesus is, I'm telling you, it'll help you to grow. Because then you'll be wanting to please him and not formality. Church won't be legalistic to you. Well, I got to go this morning, doggone it. I got to go to Connect Group. No, I don't want to go to Connect Group. I don't even like some of them people. Well, get over it. Start loving them. You don't have to like them, but you got to love them. And so see, when you start thinking, why would I want to think like that? Because Jesus loved you when you were unlovable. He died for you when you were a sinner. And you love him by loving others and by serving him and serving others. And see, we don't even know who he really is. We don't really know why we come to church, why we read our Bible, because it's all about Jesus and our relationship with him. And I'm telling you, once I understood who he was, oh my word, I felt about this tall because I just wanted to serve him with what he did for me. And I really want you to understand, not to make you uncomfortable, but just so you'll grow. You'll grow once you know who he is. Want you to understand that he and God's the same, and you're growing. Number two. And see, let me just share this. It's in your outline. I got to share this about the truth. Where there is life, there must be growth. See that? Where there is life, there must be growth. Salvation is not the end. It's the beginning of our spiritual growth. See, here's what we think. Here's the mentality. It really is. We had a lot of children saved in our church, right? Some of you got saved young. Some of you got saved older. But here's what happens. I've seen it happen. Well, you know, I'm getting married next week. You know that, don't you? Yeah, I know you're getting married. Boy, she's pretty, too. I'm getting married next week. He's handsome. Oh, yes. And now they start thinking about life a little different. You know, we were just out here. You know, I was single, and mom and dad was paying some of the bills, and now I'm getting married. Priorities are changing, right? And so they start thinking, well, I guess we better get in church. That's what most people do, go to church. We need to go to church. Maybe they hadn't been, maybe they have. And so they go down to the church house, and people start saying, man, we're glad to have y'all. Come on, won't y'all join the church? Y'all need to join the church. Come on down and get in my Sunday school class. And so, well, okay, we will. And so they walk down an aisle and they join a church. Or they walk down an aisle, they got saved, and they go through the baptistry. But they think, well, that's it. I'm in. I did what they told me to go to church. I did. They told me to get saved. I did. So that's it. I'm in. Well, you're in, but you haven't grown. You still got to grow. It's kind of like a first grader. The first grader, some of you got first graders starting to school. Let's just say they start reading and writing. Hey, I can read now. I mean, I can read. Jane, C, Joe. And I can write. I can even write cursive. Right? And I'm learning. And I even know what 5 + 5 is now. And 10 - 5 is 5. Hey, I'm through. That's it. No more school for me. I don't need that geometry. I don't need that arithmetic. I mean, that algebra. I don't need all that biology stuff. I already know what 5 + 5 is. I'm in the first grade. That sounds silly, doesn't it? But some of our spirituality is the same way. Well, I'm in church. I joined the church. I got baptized. But are you growing? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you just settled? I got saved. You know, I love this Baptist church. Once saved, always saved, man. I'm in. Yes. I'm in, buddy. Preach it, brother. Preach it. You may be in, but in some ways you're out because you've missed the growth and living the Christian life, the abundant life that God has for you. You really have. And you need to keep growing in the Lord. That's just, salvation is just a starting point. Number two. Y'all notice I'm watching the clock? Got it? All right, number two. An honest evaluation of who you are. This is very imperative. Three scriptures I want you to hear of who you really are. You see, once you know who Jesus is, then you got to know who you are. Right? The first scripture is this, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In other words, all have sinned. I'm a sinner. We all have sinned. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody in here was a sinner. Everybody has sinned. Jesus died for everybody, for all sins. So what does that mean? It means I was a sinner. But in 1979, on October the 30th, I became a saint. I mean, Christ died for me. He paid my sin debt. And once I accepted him and believed in him, I became a child of God. I became a saint of God. I'm not a sinner anymore. Now, I can still sin because I'm still in the flesh, but I am not a sinner anymore. And here's the problem. If you start going around saying that, and I've heard people say this, and some of them just don't understand. They'll say, well, I'm just a dirty old rotten sinner. I sin every day. Why? Why do you sin every day? You don't have to. Because you have the Spirit of a living God in you now. Once you got saved, He put His Spirit in you. You don't have to sin every day. And quit calling yourself a sinner. Here's why. What do sinners do? Sin. If I keep saying, well, I'm just a sinner, I'm just saying, well, I need to sin some then. If I'm going to be a sinner. See, you're not a sinner anymore. Once you got saved, you became a saint of God, a child of God, and you grow into his discipleship. You got to know who you are. When Christ died for you and you received him and he came into your life, he transforms your life. You're not that same old Joe, same old Jane you used to be anymore. You shouldn't be. That's called transformation. It's called redemption. He redeemed your life. The second scripture is my favorite. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is how I knew who I was. My first scripture I ever learned wasn't John 3:16. It wasn't even Jesus wept. It was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old lifestyle has passed away, and behold, Dusty, you're a new man. And once I heard that, and once I began to believe, I'm a new person. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old Dusty McLemore began to pass away, and the new Dusty McLemore became new. Patsy got a new husband. Haiti got a new daddy. See, that's what that means. That's who I was. I didn't really understand it at the time. I just knew I needed to get saved. Once I began to go to Bible study, Connect Group, they began to teach me, hey, you're a child of God now. You're a saint of God. You don't do those things now. It's not because you don't have to, because you don't want to. Because he changed you from the inside out. You see, I want to go to church. I don't have to go to church. I don't even have to go to Connect Group, but I want to. See, he changed my want to. I want to grow, and you do too. The third scripture is Galatians 5, 16 through 18. Turn there with me. Galatians chapter 5. This will help you to know who you are. Right before Ephesians. See, I'm already using what I learned in class one time. God eats popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. God eats popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And those books are hard to find for me then. And so I memorized that and I learned something. I never would have learned that if I hadn't been in Connect Group. But I did. Learned in Sunday school. All right, Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. This is powerful. Look what he writes, Galatians 5, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't know about you, but does your flesh get a hold of you every now and then? If you play golf, it does. If you're married, it does. You got children? Oh, yes. See, the flesh sometimes get a hold of you. Angered, wrath, forgiveness, unforgiveness. You just want to cuss. But if you walk in the Spirit and you're feeding that Spirit every day in devotions and prayer time, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh as much. Now, here's the other side. If you're not walking in the Spirit, all you do is come to church every now and then. You don't do any devotions. You're not growing in the Lord. I'm telling you, you're going to cuss. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. Because that old, or you may not cuss, you may get angry. Road rage. Can I get a witness? I'm back in the Word. Verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, the legalism, the ritualism. You got a relationship now. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's about my relationship. I go because I want to, not because I have to. Amen? And sometimes you don't want to. Let's be honest. Sometimes the flesh don't want to do it. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to go to church. That's where you let the Spirit override. Say, Lord, help me. I'm going anyway. I'm doing it anyway. Amen? All right. Now, here's Bill Gillum said this. Listen to this quote. Flesh refers to the old ways or patterns by which you have attempted to get all your needs supplied instead of seeking Christ first and trusting Him to meet your needs. See, the flesh wants to meet your needs for you, but God wants to meet your needs through His spiritual life. Number three, a spiritual knowledge of God's Word. I'll be brief here. God's Word, you need to know God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, a workman rightly dividing the Word of God. That's our Awana verse. Our theme verse for Awana is you rightly divide the word of truth. You got to get in the word of God and know what the Bible says. So you start reading it. Get you a good translation or whatever. You can get the Bible on a CD. Say, well, I just don't like to read. Well, get a CD and put it in your car when you're going on a trip and listen to the word of God that way. You can do it a lot of different ways. And so just get the word of God. Get familiar with it. And then 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, it says, from childhood you have learned the scripture. From childhood. Notice that. I think that's an awesome thing to realize that you teach your children the word of God. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says this, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is of Jesus Christ. All scripture is given and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then the last one is this. Number four, a biblical understanding of the role of Christ's church. So here's the progression. If you're going to grow in the Lord and have a spiritual growth, be a disciple, you got to know who God and Jesus are. You got to know who you are. You got to have an understanding or knowledge of the Word of God. And then you got to understand what the church is all about. I've already alluded to that, so I won't belate it. But you got to understand that the church is Christ's body. You belong to the body of Christ. It's not just Lindsay Lane or First Baptist or First Methodist or Presbyterian. It's not about that. It's about belonging to a church that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the reason you come to church is so you'll grow in Christ. There's all kind of stuff in the church that we offer. Now we do. We offer a lot of stuff for your children, for your youth, for your senior adults. We got a young at heart thing coming up. We got all kind of programs. But don't you listen to this. The church is a living organism and not necessarily an organization. The church is vibrant. The church is alive. The church is you and I as people. But the Spirit of God is here. Listen to this truth. The church operates totally by faith in God's power, and not by our programs, our policies, or our personalities. Now, let me ask you this, and let's just be honest, to do a little check. Why do you come to church? Is it for programs? They're well and good. We offer a lot. Is it for policies? You just love bylaws. I mean, you love policy. Hey, we're not doing it right. That exit sign's out. You love that kind of stuff. That's okay. I mean, you can come for that. I don't know why, but if you do, you're here. And then there's personalities. Well, I like that person. I like my connect group, teacher. I like Pastor Dusty. I like the choir, orchestra, all of those things. I like those people, this and that. That's okay. All those okay. But that's not why you come to church. You come to church to develop a spiritual relationship and grow in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a question I want to ask, and I want you to think about this. Would you still come to church if we didn't have Awana? Would you still come to church if we didn't have Young at Heart? What if we didn't have a dynamic student ministry or children's church or nice facilities or a choir or orchestra? Would you come then? First thing you'd say, well, I'd go somewhere else. What if they didn't have it? What if all that was here was Pastor Dusty preaching? That's it. Nothing. Or somebody teaching the Word of God. Would that be enough? Would that be enough? It's a good question, isn't it, really? Is it about your relationship with the Lord, or is it about programs, policies, personalities? All of those, I'm glad we got those, don't you? I'm glad it goes with it. But when you really deep down look at it, why is it that I come, and what am I trying to gain or develop? And so that's just how you grow. I ask you that because I ask myself that. Am I really, if I wasn't preaching, would I come? I was going. But am I developing? Am I growing? So those are good questions to ask, and we need to ask those, okay? All right, let me wrap it up. Here's a great truth in your outline. We develop a love relationship. Here's a good word. We develop a love relationship with the church. We can develop a love relationship with the church and truly miss the intimate love relationship with the creator of the church. So we can even miss God and loving Him because we love all the other stuff that's going on. So anyway, that'll help you. All right? Well, getting through early. Here it is. It's been a tough year for your pastor in some ways here at Lindsay Lane. And I mean that by this. I've had to do 3 funerals in the past few months. That's really, 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 really very difficult for me to do. The first one was Pam McCullough. Pam was on staff here at our church. Pam was just 50, barely over 50 something. Pam passed away with cancer, and I had to do that funeral. Boy, it was hard. Wasn't it for all of us, our staff? Secondly, I had to do my dad's funeral. My dad passed away in May this year. I had to do that funeral, bury my dad. And then right after that, a few months ago, Miss Susie Schofield, Sonny's wife, went to be with Jesus. Had to do that funeral. All 3 of those funerals were those people that I greatly admired, loved dearly. And I was close to all 3 of them. And so that was hard. So, Pastor, it was hard. I understand that. It was hard for us. So what's the point? Here's the point. I wouldn't have made it probably through those without the church. Having people who love us enough to cry with us, to love on us, to get through it. You're not going to make it without the church, really. And I say church because it's the body of Christ. But people who love you, who call you, who cry with you, who weep with you, put their arms around you, that's why, another reason, you need the church. You're talking about growing in Christ. That'll help you grow when you go through a trial like that, to know there are people that really do care. And they care because they love Jesus. Because they love Jesus, they love you. And so if you don't have a church family that can love on you like that, oh boy, you need it. People all the time ask me, I don't see how people make it without the church and people like that. You know what I tell them? They don't. They usually don't. And so I'd encourage you to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your priorities right and start letting Him grow you in the Lord. And then we're going to talk about the life and times of Jesus Christ. Get to know Him a lot better next week. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your love and Your mercy. Thank You for this word. And now I pray, Lord, that You would draw us to You in a closer relationship with You. Lord, as we're launching out into a fall, Lord, we've had all of our summer activities, and Lord, and our school starting back, and all these things are starting to happen. Lord, I pray that we would focus on You, get our life in tune with You, and grow, have fun in this world, Lord, enjoy our salvation. Enjoy doing the things that we do, but get You first. Get our priorities right. And so, Lord, I pray today as we come that some need to be saved. Some need to give their life to Jesus. I pray they would come. Some need to join this church and get involved and start growing as a disciple. And some just need to come and pray at the altar, as many did in the first service. So I pray, Lord, You'd have Your way and Your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us? Our pastors are here to greet you. We'd love to have you. If God's leading you to Lindsay Lane, if you need to make any type of personal decision, we can help you. That's why we're here. As we sing, you come.
What can wash away?